Take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We have been in a Bible series study, so to speak, about the different titles that God calls the devil. Tonight, honestly, one of the most well-known names for the devil, and one that's probably used one of the fewest times, and yet probably more attention to it than most. But I want to help you tonight. Take your Bibles, 1 John chapter 2. Let's start reading in verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Notice that statement. Antichrist, notice the verb, shall. That means it's coming in the future. Shall come. Even now there are many antichrists. Notice that statement. Now there are many. Whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. And ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now look at me. Tonight we're going to talk about the devil as the antichrist. But I want you to notice something about this. We started the Bible study weeks and weeks and weeks ago by saying God tells us not to be ignorant of his devices. He doesn't want us ignorant of how the devil approaches us. And yet, the people of this world, there's a reason God called us sheep, because most of us aren't real smart. For instance, Monday, they had sodomite parades all over our country. Folks, that ain't real smart. Celebrating people being perverts. And by the way, thank God, I read in the news today, the popularity of it is dropping greatly. You say, why? Part of it is we've got conservatism that's on the rise. You've got a conservative president that's not afraid to say that he's a Christian, and others on the cabinet and higher levels. But I also think it's because people are just realizing, hey, that's not real smart. Tonight, we're going to talk about one of these as the devil is the Antichrist. I hate to tell you this. Do you know that that word is only mentioned 4 or 5 times total in Scripture? And yet, probably, more of you are interested in that one title than any. It's not a long study, but I'm going to use a lot of scripture to back and to show you. There's not one place in the Bible that specifically uses Antichrist, capital I, or capital A, in reference to the devil. But I'll show you how he is the Antichrist. But you'll never see the name Antichrist associated in a capital letter as a specific person naming the devil himself. But we just read in 1 John chapter 2, little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. He's saying there is one that will come. But I want you to notice the next statement. Even now there are many antichrists. Now, first of all, what does the word antichrist mean? If you don't understand that, the rest of the night's going to mess you up. Pay attention. The word antichrist means opponent to the Messiah. Opponent to the Christ. Notice in verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Not a Christ, the Christ. That word right there defines what an antichrist is. Please listen carefully. That means the Mormons, the Jehovah's false witnesses, the Latter-day Aints, the Seventh-day unadventurous, the Catholics, those that don't call Jesus the Christ, don't believe in him as the Christ, as the salvation needed. By the way, I'm talking about anybody that preaches anything other than salvation by grace through faith. Whether it be Catholic, Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Lutheran, or Baptist. There's free will Baptists out there and other Baptists out there that preach that you got to get saved, but then you got to live a certain lifestyle or God will take it away. Well, that's as wicked as hell, and that's work salvation, and it's wrong. And God says anybody who doesn't call Jesus the Christ, that doesn't just mean that you use that label, but believe in him as the Christ. Do you remember when Jesus was talking to Peter and he said, Peter, or he said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? Some say thou art John the Baptist or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then he says, fellas, who do you think I am? And Peter stands up and says, thou art the Christ. Not a Christ, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have to understand something. He understood that. What cracks me up is this. In the same chapter, Jesus starts telling them, I'm going to leave. I'm going to be killed. But I'll come back. And Peter says, I'm not going to let him do that. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. If you look it up, he's actually calling Peter an antichrist. He was opposing Jesus being the Christ, even though he believed he was the Christ. He wasn't allowing him to be the Christ if he would have stopped him. He would have been an antichrist had he not let Jesus go to Calvary. That's what you don't understand about that title. So that title is very important when it says, who is a liar? Well, who is a liar? The devil. And he's the father of it. Now, one trying to be the Messiah in replacement is also an antichrist. Sounds like a guy with a grapefruit on his head that sits in Rome. El Papa. I can speak ex cathedra in the place of God. Hello. You got to understand something. When somebody tries to stand and say, I am the Christ, look out. Now, go to 1 John. Well, let's do this. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. I got a lot of scripture to read here. You're going to get your Bible reading in tonight. 2 Thessalonians, look at chapter 2. Now, everybody, look, once you get there, look at me so I know that you're there, and I want to talk to you for just a second. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then look at me. It's just back about 30, 40 pages. Remember the term the Christ. Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one. Who is the anointed one? Jesus. He was anointed by God, and he is God. He is Lord, Savior, and King. He is all of those. The anointed one is in reference to his authority and power. Now look at me. Who wants the authority and who wants the power? The devil. Now as we read through the scripture, remember that term, Christ, the Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2, look at verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, Jesus is coming back. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That term, son of perdition, that's the devil. That's another name for the devil, the son of perdition. You say, where do you find that, preacher? Go to Isaiah 14 later. You can look it up. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Do you remember in Isaiah 14? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. He's talking about the devil here. Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until it be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Notice the capital W. That's the devil. The wicked one. Talk about him next week. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of whom? Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Sounds like Congress. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. That's those getting votes. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now notice, he's talking about one day the devil is going to be coming. The son of perdition, the wicked one, Satan. It's not been yet, and he's deceiving the world. Talks about how, with lying wonders. He talks about deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. And they love not the truth. Boy, is that not our generation. So he's talking about the devil when he comes. When is he coming? As Antichrist. Now watch this. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Go to the last book of the Bible and you're there. Revelation 13. I really want to read the whole chapter. I might skip around here and there a little bit, but just hold on. We're early in the evening, so I may read it all. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of what? So this is not a good one, huh? All right. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, look at me. I've heard people say, well, that's talking about different nations. The leopard being Greece and the lion being Great Britain and on and on. Nowhere does the Bible say that. Just so you know. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months is how long? 3.5 years. This is talking about the Antichrist. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given on him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. We saw during COVID how that could take place very easily. I said in 2020, 2019, I don't believe we're there, but I think this is a precursor to Antichrist. Pay attention. Verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's Jesus as the Christ, right? If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. In other words, he looked one way and sounded another. Sounds like most politicians. And he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. You say, what was that wound? I don't know, but probably the rapture. Knocked the snot out of him, amen? Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. Oh, deceiveth. Do you remember? One of the titles of the devil was the deceiver. And he had power to do it in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not to worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it shall be the number of man, and his number is 666. 666. Preacher, how are they going to do the mark of the beast? Well, it's going to be in the back of the hand or in the forehead. If you'd have been alive during the 70s, they told you it was going to be a barcode. In our age, they say it could be a computer chip. I have no idea how it's going to work. God didn't tell us. But I do know this. It doesn't say if you don't have the mark of the beast that you're going to die right away. There will be saved people on the earth that will not receive the mark of the beast, but they're not going to be able to buy and sell. How could they mandate the mark of the beast? I can show you through what we learned from COVID. Since everybody did not get a vaccination, quote unquote, they'll say, last time we had a pandemic, we had trouble getting everybody vaccinated, had trouble tracking it. When we vaccinate you this time, we'll insert a chip, and you'll have to, before you can go anywhere, buy, sell, go to the doctor, get gasoline, or do anything, you're going to have to get that scanned so that we know you've been vaccinated, or you won't get service. That's how simple it will be. You say, preacher, is the technology out there today? I have no idea. I would say, yes, they can track your stupid dog or cat and put a chip in it. They can track your vehicle. If you've got GPS, they know where your vehicle is at all times. I had a recall on my truck. I kept getting a notice saying, on certain night between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m., you'll not be able to drive your vehicle because we're going to redo your truck via satellite. That's kind of spooky. You'll say, oh, that's pretty cool. I say that's pretty weird. You get your car stolen, they ought to be able to never know where a car is not, because they can track it anywhere. Well, you have to turn certain things on. No, you don't. You only have to turn it on if you pay for it. But they know where it's at. But notice all these things are talking about the Antichrist, the devil, during the tribulation. This is how we associate the term Antichrist with the devil. Make sense to everybody? Okay, hang on here. Go to 1 John chapter 4. By the way, the Antichrist can't take over until the world economically collapses. There has to be a worldwide bankruptcy for him to step up on the scene and rebuild the economy of the world. Say, how soon is it going to be, preacher? We have no idea. Right now, I would say it's going to be a while, because we're not on the threshold of world collapse. But it wouldn't take long to get there. You see, he has to take over and say, I'll bring peace. How do you do that? How do you explain away millions and millions of people being raptured out of the world? Well, it's called, like during COVID, and they make you hover in your house. What do they call that? What is it?
Quarantine.
Quarantine. Everybody went and quarantined. And then they'll say, when you come out of your house, look how many of the graves we had to open up and just throw bodies into. Millions and millions of people died during this, and you have to do this. We saw how scared people were over a stupid germ. Imagine trying to explain away millions and millions and millions of people dying and just vanishing. Say, how could it take place, preacher? At that moment, the world would collapse economically. And that leader would rise and say, I can put the world back together. This is a worldwide epidemic. Why? Because we have missionaries all over the world preaching the truth. Do you see how it could set up? 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 3. Let's go back to verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. In other words, just because something says church doesn't mean it's godly. Just because somebody sounds spiritual doesn't mean they're right. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of what?
Antichrist.
Whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is it in the world. Go to 2 John. There's only one chapter. Look at verse number 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and a what?
Antichrist.
So what makes someone an antichrist is denying that Jesus has the ability to save and that he is the Son of God. That he came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and he paid our sin debt. Now, hold on, listen to me. Even the Catholics will tell you that he did it, but you can pray through Mary because she's the mother of God and Jesus has to answer yes to his mother or he'd be a sinner. Hello. They don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. They use the terminology, but they don't believe it. The Christian Science Church is filled with antichrists. That's where your Hollywood people are from. Filthy, vile, damnable things. The Catholic religion. And I'm going to go as far as to say virtually every Protestant denomination out there. Because everything is hinging on personal righteousness, not the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Well, you got to get baptized, or you got to get saved and baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost, Church of God and Pentecostals. And if you don't speak in tongues, then you haven't really been saved. Hello. Now, folks, God said those are antichrists. Then you have people that want to be God. Those are called politicians. False gods. Mohammed. You have the Buddhist religions and all the other religions of the world. They're trying to portray someone to be their savior. But it's not Jesus the Christ. Any religion or person who denies or trims down Jesus as the way to heaven has the spirit of Antichrist. The Jehovah's false witnesses, the Mormons, the Muslims, the Catholic, the evolutionists, the communists, the Islamists, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Shintos, and all the false Bible users. Why do you think the issue is the Word of God? Because Jesus is the Word of God, and when you change the Word of God, you've changed who Jesus is. Folks, we don't realize how important it is. My wife and I took my neighbor up to Frederick yesterday to visit her husband's grave, Richard's wife. She's mad at the Catholic Church. Oh, she's mad. They're all going with the rainbow flags. And she said, I need to get back to church, but I ain't going back there. And my pretty little wife reaches in her purse and hands her a tract and says, here's our service times. Just come. And she's thinking about it. And we began to talk about it. She doesn't see much difference till we started talking. And she's like, I see where you're coming from. I didn't tell her how bad that was. I just started talking about, I don't care what society says. I care what God says. She said, if more preachers preached like that, I said, exactly. I got her on my side. Then I started whacking away a little bit at a time. And you say, what'd you do? I gave her truth. I didn't do it in a mean way. I didn't tell her that the Pope was the vicar of hell and everybody that believed in him was going to die and go to hell with him. That comes later. But I'm not afraid of it. You say, why? People are tired of being lied to. You see, the Antichrist, there are not just one, there are many Antichrists. And anybody who appears to be religious but does not preach salvation rightly is an Antichrist. John MacArthur, Chuck Swindoll, all of them use wrong doctrine and wrong Bibles. They sound so suave. They're Bible scholars. So, I know a lot of Bible scholars I wouldn't give you 2 cents for. They got more degrees than they got temperature. Well, they've studied the Word of God for a very long time. Well, they got it wrong. Just because somebody's written a bunch of books on it, most of the time, you say, why do you get against so many of those people? They have so much time to write books and they're not telling anybody about Jesus Christ. One of the demises of what I would call independent Baptist churches is Baptist preachers are not writing enough material because we're too busy helping people and getting people saved. I don't have a lot of time to write books. I'm trying to help people. Number two, Antichrist will set up his kingdom or his throne on earth as he wanted to in heaven, but he's only going to have 7 years to rule. Now, everybody listen to me very carefully here. There is coming a day when the rapture will take place. 1 Thessalonians says that Jesus will come, the clouds will be rolled back, the sound of the trumpet. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Now, say, preacher, what's going to happen? Let me tell you real quickly. Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3 talk about now. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. Take your Bible, turn there. And in Revelation chapter 1, while you're turning, God gives us the outline of what the book of Revelation is. Things which are, things which were, and things which shall be. Huh. We know what things were. We know what things are. Then it talks about things that shall be. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first first voice which I heard, whereas ever were a what? Oh, and the trump of God shall sound. As a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And I will show these things which must be what? Hereafter. That means things that shall be. Oh. What is Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1? The rapture. You want to know where it takes place? Right there. It matches 1 Thessalonians 4. Now watch this very carefully. Everybody's so worried about what's going to happen during the 7 years on earth. Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me. As a child of God, who gives a flying flip? We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. We're going to be receiving our rewards. We're going to be getting our marching orders. And we're going to be eating and not gaining weight. I'll have my taste back. The next food I get to taste and smell will be in heaven. Well, glory. And I know it's going to be cheeseburgers and steak. Amen. Now, hang on for a second here. Why are we so worried about what's going to take place down here? I watch more Christians spend more time trying to figure out what's going to happen down here, and you're not going to be here for it. Well, preacher, I know about the seven vials and the seven seals and the seven trumpets and seven this, seven that, and seven this, seven. Who gives a flying flip? Are you going to be here for it? You better hope not. Well, I want to sound intelligent. Well, you sound like a ding dong to me because it ain't helping anybody. What's the movie series that they did years ago about all the... It's so wrong doctrine, it's not even funny. See, preacher, is it really that bad? It's Antichrist material. Sorry. Because what are you worried about what's going on down here? Say, what's going to happen? Antichrist will rule here. We're going to be partying in heaven for 7 years. And most of the book of Revelation is talking about what's happening down here while we're up there partying. It doesn't affect us as Christians. So what are we so worried about? Shoot, I know preachers get up and, well, I know the 10 horns, and it means these 10 countries, and it's got 10 horns, it's got 7 heads, and those heads are this, and they can tell you what kind of nail polish is on the toenails. Good grief. God never said those things. That's man trying to sound impressive to you so that you'll buy his books. Gag. I don't mean to be unkind. I don't care what's going on down here. I care about everything I've done that's going to go on up there to get us ready to come back. And we're going to watch Jesus take the devil and throw him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then we'll rule and reign with him on earth for 1,000 years. Yeah. Then God's going to open up that trap door and let the devil back out for a season. Then he's going to destroy the world by fire. The climatologists are off by 1,007 years at least. There will be global warming, but it'll happen so fast you won't know what hit you. Now watch this. Only then will everybody receive their final reward. That's the lost people. That's the great white throne judgment. Then God will remake heaven and earth. We'll have access to both, and the lost will be burning in the lake of fire forever. And the Bible says, then God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, and he'll wipe away the memory of all those that are in hell, because we couldn't endure in eternity thinking about those that were in hell. Everybody doing okay? well, what's all the book of Revelation about? What's this mean? What's that mean? Don't worry about it. It's happening down here under Antichrist. Who gives a flip? I know you read Tim LaHaye's books. I know you read A.V. Henderson's books. I know you read this person's books. Who cares? There's too many people worried about stuff that they're never going to experience. You're worried about a 7-year period in the future history that we're not even going to be a part of as a Christian. And yet, there are churches that will spend years studying the book of Revelation. Everybody doing okay? I gave you a 10-minute synopsis of the whole book. The Antichrist will rule and reign for 7 years. That's it. The first 3.5 years, he'll bring peace to the world. He'll bring a unity and a unification of the world. Somewhat like the United Nations tried to do after World War II. Back in the 1940s, the preachers were preaching against the United Nations because they were calling it the Antichrist. Hello? When you unite all the nations under one group, it's very similar to what the Antichrist will do. He will set up as Jesus being the devil. Well, I've come in peace. I'm Jesus. I've come to rule the world. Follow me. He'll be very likable. That means it's not Barack and Michelle. He'll be intelligent. That means it's not Bill Clinton. He'll have his memory. It won't be Joe Biden. He will set up in Jerusalem to rule the world. He comes in peace, but the last 3.5 years, listen to this, in 42 months, there'll be 21 judgments. That's every other month for 3.5 years, there'll be another judgment take place on earth. Every 8 weeks, a new judgment begins. Imagine a new COVID on steroids every 8 weeks. And the fury of God poured out with it. It's going to be ugly. Going to be nasty. Then, by the way, we're all in heaven partying. We're eating at the marriage feast of the Lamb. See, what are you going to eat, preacher? Anything and everything I can poke the pie hole with. Yeah, I don't care. No, those will be in hell. Those will be in hell for sure. Now, wait a second. Listen to me very carefully here. We're so worried about something that we're not even going to experience. Don't spend all your time on it. The devil will come in peace, and yet great tribulation will come. At the end of that 3.5 bad years, there'll be a war called the War of Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon. It'll be fought in Israel in the Valley of Megiddo. That is on the eastern, central eastern part of the nation of Israel right now. And Turkey and China and Russia and Germany, Gog and Magog. Gog meaning Germany, Magog meaning Moscow. The army from the east without number, that's China. The Euphrates River will dry up, they'll march to Israel, and they'll gather there to fight Jesus, and we come back on white horses. And he'll come back with a sword proceeding out of his mouth, and he'll slay them with the sword of his mouth, to where the Bible says the blood will flow to the bridle of a horse in the Valley of Megiddo. And it'll be so bad that all the birds of prey and all the animals that eat dead bodies will not even be able to clean it up. Imagine the blood in the bodies being stacked 4 and 5 feet high in an area that's probably the size of Berkeley County. The whole area, not just one part. But what happens after that? Jesus claims victory and sits down on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And since we came back with him and we've got our marching orders, we go across this earth and we set up where we're supposed to rule and reign with him, and we take over the government of the world. I've asked God for Berkeley and Jefferson County. I want to run both counties, and there's people I'm going to make clean the septic tank in this church with their own toothbrush and then use their toothbrush. Number three, there are many antichrists today. Don't be deceived into thinking there's only one. We read in 1 John chapter 2, little children, is the last time as you heard that antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists. Say, who are that? Governments that deny Jesus is the Christ. Cuba, Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, China, Japan. Go across this globe and find every nation that doesn't believe in Jesus as the Christ. Those are antichrist nations. Scientists that want to be God. Mr. Fauci. Anyway, folks, scientists aren't God. God is God. Popes, I hate to disappoint you, they're not spiritual. They're trying to portray spirituality. I didn't say they're not sincere. They're just sincerely wrong. I'm going to say it. I'm talking about the TV preachers. What's his name, the cow feller? Yeah, Joel Holstein. Joel Holstein is an antichrist. His gospel is based on how much money he gets. I'm talking about, there used to be a guy, I don't know if he's still popular, Harold Camping. He's predicted the rapture so many times, it's unbelievable. Our own news media is an antichrist. The false Bible people. When you change the word of God, you're changing Jesus. Which means you're an antichrist. Thomas Nelson Publishers. Brother Kevin said something last Sunday. I think Sunday morning when we read the scripture. No, it was Sunday night when we read the scriptures. Psalm 51. Thoroughly. Wash me thoroughly. It doesn't say thoroughly. One of our good men came to Brother Kevin and said, show me that. And a Thomas Nelson, King James, authorized version, they've changed the word to thoroughly. I said, well, that's Southern Baptist. You have to be careful even with some of the Bible publishers. I've warned you of New Schofields. Say, why? They've changed the scripture. I could go on and on and on and on. When you start messing with the Bible, you're a deceiver and an antichrist. I've got to quit. I don't know who the antichrist will be. Brother Hiles used to say, back in the 90s, he said, I quit preaching on prophecies because everything I preached didn't come true. He said, I remember when we preached that Harry Kissinger was the Antichrist. He said, I got a whole bunch of sermons about prophecy. I'll sell you real cheap. He said, they're not worth much, but I scared a lot of people into heaven with them. Remember him saying that, Brother Kevin? It's true. In his latter years, he wouldn't preach on it. He said, look, all that stuff, he said, I got caught up in it for a while. He said, it's not worth it. He said, let's just preach what we know. He said, let's quit pretending we know more than God. I don't know who the Antichrist will be. By the way, nobody knows. Listen to this statement. Nobody thought it would be Judas Iscariot who would betray Jesus. So for you to say, well, I know who it is, guess what? You're as dumb as the rest of the Antichrists. Because you're not. I know it will be Satan in the flesh. That's all you have to know. And I also know this. Let's not follow the way of the Antichrists of our day. Let's just follow what Jesus said. Who art thou? Who do men say that I am? Oh, you're one of the prophets. Who do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ. The Christ, the Son of the living God. An Antichrist is anybody who opposes or tries to imitate who he is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe we ought not get so wound up about prophecy and just start learning to obey the Bible. Don't put all your eggs in a basket on Bible prophecy. What prophecy do we need to look for, preacher? The second coming of Jesus Christ, the rapture. That's all you got to worry about. Are you ready for it? Are you working towards it? Everything that we ought to do ought to be about what we can do so that we have a better heaven and a better, more people going there.